promise or promises or promiseth, something like that. We're down to the book of James, chapter 1, and we're almost finished with this. But in the book of James, chapter number 1 is another time when this word is found. James chapter 1 and verse number 12. James 1, verse number 12. And the Bible says in this place, James 1, verse 12, says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So there that word promise is in verse 12, and the latter part of that verse. And God has promised the crown of life to all of those that are faithful to God. And that's what it says. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer, if you would, before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you might help me tonight. I might be able to bring your word true to yourself. That we all might learn more and more about you. We might understand how great you really are, or at least a part of it. And Lord, I pray that you might just help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. I pray, Lord, for those that are lost and those that are sick and afflicted, and you know all about those people. And Lord, I pray that you might just bless each one. You know, Lord, the things that people stand in need of, their uncertainty about tomorrow and in the face of what they're facing today. You know all about that. But Lord, I pray that you might help these people to understand that everything will work out if they just trust in you and believe in you, Lord, because you have the power to take care of everything. Ask you now to watch over us tonight. Have us to worship you as we look at this passage. Of course, in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Verse number 12 begins with the word blessed. I like that word. Blessed is the man that endureth. The word blessed means happy. Are you happy? Are you enduring temptation? Maybe I should ask that another way, but I don't think I can. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. Some will say, I would be a lot happier if I never had to endure temptation. But that isn't what the Bible teaches, is it? Temptation is there. Notice in this passage that every person that endureth temptation is the one that's happy. Verse number 12, blessed, happy is the man that endureth temptation. They're happy not because temptation comes upon them. They're not happy because they fall into temptation. They're happy when they endure temptation. And who does not endure temptation? Anybody want to raise your hand? There's all kinds of temptation. I mean, there's all kinds of temptations that come. God inspired James to write this letter in verse number 1 of chapter 1. It says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So, the letter that God wanted James to write is of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Scattered abroad. 12 tribes. I think he's talking about Israel. As they were destroyed, as the whole nation was destroyed in 70 AD, and they went into worldwide captivity. They were taken here and there, yon. They went everywhere. This is one that he's writing to. And sometimes we might feel the same way. we might feel rather disconnected from society. Well, I hope you are disconnected from society. I hope you really are. We shouldn't live like this world at all. We should live the way God wants us to live. Our lives can be stable. Now, when I'm saying that word stable, I'm using that word as an adjective, not as a noun, because a stable is where you put a horse. I'm not talking about that. Our verb is when you put the horse in there, in the stable. I'm not talking about that. As an adjective, I mean this. Our lives ought to be firmly established. They ought to be firm. They ought to be steadfast. They are permanent. Ought to be enduring. They ought to be sane. And they ought to be rational as well. That's what it means. But in spite of all that, there is always something that comes along and it causes our lives to change. We like stability. But God wants us to have real stability in trusting Him when things go wrong. Some things we can help, some things we can't. But notice that there's troubles that everybody has. Temptations always come into every life. Every life. Temptations, troubles, trials, they all come. I mean, that's the way it is. Happiness or fulfillment in this life doesn't happen just because we have everything we thought we wanted. Notice. Another thing here to look at. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When you are tempted, understand, when you are tempted, that does not mean that you have failed. All right? Everybody's tempted. Everybody. That doesn't mean that you failed. But God uses temptations in every life to accomplish His goals for that life. All right? It is not wrong when Satan tempts you. You say, well, that's wrong. No, it's not. Satan tempted Jesus. He was wrong, but the temptation was right. Because it showed who Jesus really was. And when temptation comes along in our life, it's caused by Satan. But temptations in themselves prove who we really are. They prove that. So don't be thinking it's wrong at all. It is wrong only when you fall for temptations. Has anybody here ever fallen for temptations?
Yeah.
I'll do it like this. Yeah. I won't put my hand up real high because I don't want you to see me. But who of us have not succumbed to temptation? Everybody alive, all saved people have. That's it. Now, what are temptations? What are temptations? I've got a whole bunch of them down here. Actually, I've got 7 listed out, but that doesn't end it. I got 7. It's just things I thought about. I thought about adultery or fornication. That's always. I thought of 2. I thought about money that God hasn't provided. That can be a temptation. Money that God hasn't provided. 3. Prestige that God hasn't provided. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a person that's filled with pride? Every time I look in the mirror. Yeah. Have you ever wanted people to look at you with envy? That's pride. I mean, that's a temptation. A desire for anything that God has not provided. You ever want that? You ever want those things that you don't have, that your neighbor has? You're working as hard as they worked, but you can't get it? Remember, there are many temptations that we've not even mentioned, wouldn't even try to mention. I'll think of some. Does anybody know, I imagine you know this guy because he's well known. You know Dr. Ben Carson? Yeah, you know him? Do you know? Is this Ben Carson? Is he an easy speaking guy? Did you know that he had a real problem at one point? Ben Carson. He had a real problem with anger. What? When he was younger, he had a real problem with anger. That was a temptation to him, to be very angry. One time, he tells this story himself, that his anger caused him to lose control, fly off the handle, go crazy with anger. He actually, he said this. I didn't say it for him. He said this. Even hitting a friend he agreed with in the stomach so hard that he broke his buckle, the belt buckle. He broke it. Ben Carson. He said that. I didn't make this up. He said it. You know what he did about it? He went into a restroom. I don't know if it was a public one or a private one. I don't know. From listening to what he had to say, I think it was a public one. But he absolutely broke down and cried. He wept like a child. And he said, there was a Bible in there. And he quoted the scripture that he read about how that God could help him. He said he was in that restroom for some 3 hours, confessing, crying, until finally, when he came out, it was all settled. But I've heard him on the news. And when the opposition is giving him a hard time, he just sits there with the same calm voice, always answering their accusations. Real calm guy. But you know why he's that way? He says that God gave me that. He didn't claim it for his own. No. He said God gave me that. You know what? God can help you with whatever temptation you have. And God can make you victorious over it in such a great and marvelous way that you will be glad after it's all done that you had a temptation. But I'll tell you this. Some temptations last for a lifetime. Some temptations you won't ever get over. They'll always be there. Sometimes we think that Satan only tempts with sex, and that's the end of it. But that is not so. That is not so. Let me read you this. I want to read it to you. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now read this. Now I want you to read about a temptation that Satan worked, that Satan performed on Adam's wife and read this. In verse number 1, and the serpent was more subtle. This guy is a real trickster. I mean, he really is. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice verse number 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, here's the kicker. Number 3. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. In other words, she thought, I can take matters into my own hands and I can be as wise as God. The Bible says she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You see, this temptation is not sex. It's not power over somebody else. What is it? It is equality with God. That's what her problem was. Did you know that that same problem has filtered down, and you and I, we have the same problem. It's still here with us. After all, if we're not careful, we want to be equal with God. But what are we? Are we supposed to be equal with God, or are we a servant of God? When you say we're a servant of God, that means that He is above us. But that's not what the woman wanted. Not at all. She failed miserably in her attempt. But what she did was filtered on down to us today. And everybody has this same thought. I really think this is why it's so difficult for a lost person to turn it all over to God and let Him save them. I think that's why there are so many religions today that teach many different ways of salvation. It's just hard for men to recognize before God that they are a sinner, that they need Jesus Christ. It's very difficult. And yet, what it is, I describe it for myself. When I was lost, I was trying to do what was right, I thought. I would do this. And I was reaching a pinnacle of effort within myself that I could not reach. And finally, I was on the downhill side. But when I was on the downhill side, that's when I saw Christ was picking me up. When I got rid of myself, and I really became His servant, that is the whole thing that we ought to become, is a servant of God. He is our master. He's our helper. He's the one. Nobody else is. But look again in the book of Matthew chapter number 4. And we'll find here when Jesus Christ was tempted, He was tempted with a lot of things that we might say it's not going to be a bad thing at all. But notice, in Matthew 4, verse number 1 down to verse number 11, the Bible says in this way, and this is what happens. This is what happens. The reason that we're tempted today is that God has a higher plan for our lives. He wants us to understand that we cannot overcome, but we must trust in Him that we might be overcomers. We can't do it, but Jesus is the one that overcomes for us. All right? And He leads us into this place. Look at this. In verse number 1, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus, this is after He was baptized, and this happens to everybody after they're baptized. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now that's on purpose. Whatever you want to say about it, that is on purpose. Jesus was tempted on purpose by Satan, just as you are led by the Holy Spirit of God. When you want to do what God wants you to do, He will lead you and He will guide you. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, while He's doing all that, the devil oftentimes can be turned loose on you. Understand so? And when that happens, what do you do? You do the same thing that Jesus did in verse number 2. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, it was after the hunger. Now, understand here that Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's 40 complete days. He did more than I could ever do. He endured more than I could ever endure. He is my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Master. And He was the one that the Bible gives us the account of His temptation so that we can be encouraged in the things that we go through. Sometimes temptation is a bad, bad thing. Sometimes the temptations, it seems like they're really bad. It seems like we can't get over them. You ever felt that way? Yeah. But we can. How's it going to happen? In verse number 3, remember this. And when the tempter came to Him, there is a time when you're the weakest, that Satan comes to you. Mark it down. There's a time, perhaps, when you've been a little bit slack on your Bible reading. You're never slack, are you? You're always right up there bumping it. You're bumping the truth, right? You're always there. Nobody says amen? Your prayer time is always right. I mean, your prayer time, you've devoted your life to praying to God, right? I mean, you're there, right? You're not. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the perfect one. And right after He was baptized, that's when He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil came to Him. He is the perfect example for us. And the Bible said in verse number 3, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Isn't it remarkable that in the time when Jesus Christ was going to be tempted, after He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, then the devil came to Him and said, make these stones bread. Isn't that remarkable? That's what He does to us. That is what He does to us. The time when you say, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Perhaps you're out of money. Perhaps your finances are really, really low. I don't know your own individual situation, but I know this, that the devil is, he'll get right in there, because if he knows it at all, he'll bring up your weakest point at your weakest time to get you to fall. He wants you to fall. The Bible said in verse number 4 that Jesus answered him out of the scripture and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When that wouldn't work, the devil then took him up to a high mountain and misused scripture. The devil will do this to you too. He'll use the physical things, but it'll also cause you to misunderstand scripture or to misuse scripture you already know. The devil will do that. He said, then the devil take them up into a holy city and set them on the pinnacle of a temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. See, this precedes all. If thou be the Son of God, that's what he's always. If you're really a believer, you don't do this. If you're a real believer, you do this. The devil is he's a big liar. He'll always fool you. He said, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And what he said was right, but he knew the scripture. Because the scripture does say that in the book of Psalms. But Jesus said, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's Christ's answer. The third temptation that Satan offers is power. This is the typical temptations that Satan comes to us with. He took him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things shall I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So Satan offers power. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, temptations come upon everybody. Everybody. You are not exempt. You're not exempt. It'll come to you at a time of weakness. It'll come to you at a time that you think you can't get over it. But you can. You can. Just don't succumb to it at all. Don't succumb. The Lord will help you. Back in the book of James, chapter 1, verse number 12, notice what the Bible says here. James 1, verse number 12. The Bible says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The Bible says that the man who endures temptation, I think that's what it says, right? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that has temptation, and yet stays faithful to God through that temptation without falling in sin. The word endure means to stay. Blessed is the man that takes it patiently. It means to take it patiently as well. Endure. They haven't moved from their position. They're staying right. But God wants these people to understand that the end of it all, when temptation is over, when he is tried, you see in verse number 12, the Bible doesn't mention there in verse number 12 about the person that succumbs to temptation. A person can succumb to temptation. That person is not blessed. He's not happy. A person that falls into temptation is not happy, because they're always trying to cover it up. The embezzler, if he's saved, has fallen into theft from his employer, whatever, he's embezzled money. But it's always, he can't miss a day at work because someone else that might take over the books, and there he'd be, and he's caught. Blessed is the man that endureth. It implies that when a saved person is tempted, that they have not succumbed to it. You will not know what that is until you face temptation and then you don't fall for it. The only way you can know about what I'm talking about is when you've endured temptation and then you don't fall for it. You see, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, that's how it all works. Whenever we're tempted, we don't need to ever fall for Satan's tricks at all. Every person, every saved person, every believer is tempted. Temptation of Satan comes along at the most awkward times. The most awkward times. Sometimes, when you're just doing what you normally do, you'll be tempted. Be careful. Notice, the result of all this, the result of overcoming temptation when it comes upon you, there's a good result. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. So, here's the thing about temptation. Whatever kind of temptation you're facing, whatever kind it is, don't make any difference what it is. Whatever kind it is, there's a way you can do it. You can either succumb to the temptation and enjoy that for a season, or you cannot fall for the temptation and receive a crown of life. There it is. Which one do you want? I want the crown of life. Listen, the crown of life is not salvation. It's not salvation. The scriptures in this place, the context of it is that he's writing to save people. James 1, verse number 1, says he's writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And then he says in verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That they're just walking on and they just fall into it. Rejoice in that. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See how that fits? I mean, it fits perfectly. When a person is tempted, they ought to be glad when you fall into divers temptations, when they just simply come along. Why? Why should I be happy about that? It's because God is about to do something with you that He will bless you immensely for. Think of Peter, the Apostle Peter. And you remember the time that Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times? The Bible says, now he was tempted. He was tempted to deny Christ 3 times. And right after that, Peter went out and wept bitterly. But who was it that preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people were saved? You see in that how that all this happened to Peter, that he might learn what he really was. He was a servant of the Most High God. And Peter went on to project such holiness that the people, when they saw him, all they wanted was his shadow to pass over them. I mean, to them, that was a great thing that they've come so close to Peter that they could reach out and touch him. See, there's much. Whatever you're tempted with, whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. You need to take temptation as a sign that God has something better for you. He does. He's got something else that's better than you ever could have imagined it be. God will do that. Look what the Bible said. In verse number 12, he shall receive the crown of life. As I said before, that crown is not a crown of salvation. The words crown of life is only found 2 times in the Bible. This is one of them. In the book of James 2, verse number 9. Verse number 12. That's one of them. The other one is in Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 10, that's it. What I was doing, I was studying 2 different things there, and I was getting them mixed up in my thoughts. Okay. Here it is, Revelation 2, verse number 10. Verse number 8 says, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, that was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and thy tribulation and poverty, that thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's a promise that Jesus Christ gave to his church, the church of Smyrna. You see, do these people have to be perfect before they receive this crown of life? No, it's a reward. It's not salvation. Read the context of James 2, or James chapter 1, verse number 9, and read the context of Revelation 2, verse number 10, and you'll find that it's not salvation. The crown of life is a crown that shows that we have overcome. That's what it shows. So I trust tonight that you'll be encouraged about this, that you'll understand. And I fail to get the point across that everybody is tempted. I want you to know that everybody is tempted. You know why I think I'm failing on that? You know why? It's because I think I'm in the bucket by myself. I'm not. Because if you're saved, you're in the same bucket I'm in. We don't like to think about that. We want to think about we're victorious. But everybody's tempted with something. Every believer is tempted with something. That's it. I'm done. That's our word of prayer. It's God to watch over and help us tonight. As we sing this song, that His will might be done, that we might be able to rejoice in the good things of God. We pray that we might be able to be overcomers and not succumbers to the devil and his fiendish deeds. Thank you, Father, for the day you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you might help this people, that we might help me too, Lord, that I would understand, Lord, that the only way we can ever have victory in Christ is to give everything over to you. That's the only way. Lord, how much that we want to hold back to ourselves and think of ourselves and pile things up to ourselves. That's the way we're going to fail. I pray, Lord, you might just take charge of us, that you might help us, Lord, to understand that you're the one that we serve, and Lord, we are your servants, that we only need to be true to you. I pray, Lord, you might bless those who are lost. Help them, Lord, they might come to know you as their own personal Savior. Lord, help them, Lord, to show that there is victory in Christ. And Lord, help them, Lord, to know that they may have this lost condition. Lord, help them to know that you can take care of it for them. I pray, Lord, you might help us that are saved to know, Lord, that you can take care of our victories for us. Watch over us now, bless and keep us from harm. Help us tonight to be what you want us to be. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay.